Welcome to the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple.
We are so grateful you're here with us today. Let's dive in.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Creative Rise podcast. We're so glad you're here talking about pitching today, doing a full Q&A of like the top 10 questions we get around pitching and kind of how to just get better at pitching, land deals, land more new clients, maybe new industries, new spaces you want to be in. We're really excited to jump into that.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
First things first, we always give you an update on the 6-week mastermind and some of the wins that some of our people have been getting.
So. Yeah, we're coming out of week 5 right now of 6. And the momentum's just carried strong. The wins are strong. This has been a great mastermind.
This has been such
They're phenomenal.
An incredible group.
It's been so awesome to watch.
Amazing. I feel like we say that every single time, but it truly is so cool. So some of the wins from week 5. Lexi finished redesigning her site and is now ranking on the first page of Google for a bunch of her ideal local wedding venues. If anybody, potential clients, search wedding venues in her area, she pops up on the first page, which
is super
cool.
She's stoked about that. She's really excited.
That is a huge win. And then Sarah got hit up by one of her favorite brands she worked with last year to do another deal. She's excited because her persistent follow-ups actually worked, which, again, if you guys listen to the podcast about follow-ups that we did like 3 podcast episodes ago or something like that. They work. They truly do work. So Sarah was stoked on that.
Yeah, so good. Owen got locked down a deal, a $5,500 deal. I said that kind of fast. For a backcountry camping shoot with a very interesting backcountry product.
Tell him.
It's like a portable device for pooping in the backcountry. So he's looking for
a
model.
Stoked.
If you know anybody that wants to be a part of that shoot and you maybe want to model that, let him know. Hit him up at Native Release Online.
Oh my gosh.
But Owen locked down that deal. Jewel just flew to Thailand, which she's so excited about. She's from Germany. She just flew all the way to Thailand to shoot in Creative Direct for a clothing brand that she is over the moon about.
Yeah.
Well earned, well deserved.
So
and then
cool.
Devin just secured a new space for his business, a new studio space. So the wins are happening, guys. It's a fun week. Week 5 has been awesome. And coming out of week 4 and week 5, week 4 was all about marketing. Week 5 was all about scaling your money, your time, your pitches, scaling everything that is going to help you actually add scale to your business. We get a lot of questions about pitching.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of feedback and there's a lot of resource inside of the Mastermind Library in the community around pitching, around the topic of pitching. We've built a bunch of modules on it, given actually templates on how to do it properly. But there's still so many questions with it because it's such a, I don't want to say like gray thing, but there's a lot of different ways to do it.
And
different people have different styles of doing it. The same way different people have different styles of communication in person too when you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might talk with more energy. Some people talk slower, right? So there's always going to be different styles to do something. So a lot of questions come up and we thought we'd cover some on the podcast today to help you better your pitching and ideally scale up your pitching so you can scale up your money, scale up your revenue. So.
Yeah, because I don't know if you're anything like me, but if you... Pitching, it's not really the fear of pitching or even the fear of getting rejected that stops me. It's usually not knowing exactly what the next step is or not knowing what the plan is of how to pitch properly, how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that if you know what to do, you can overcome any fear of like rejection or whatever when it comes to pitching. Like cold pitching becomes a lot less scary when you know what to do and you feel confident in that process, which is why we want to bring up these questions because...
That's everything, right?
That's everything.
Like, straight up, dead honest, I have a case study video that I'm building right now for a client of ours that we worked with that's going to go up on ineedbrandtherapy.com, and I haven't done it. It's been like 5 days of me working on it, and it's a pretty big case study, but honestly, it's been difficult because I haven't always been, and right now, especially, I'm not super clear on like how I want to tie it all together and my next step for doing that. So I'm kind of at a halt. The same thing you just talked about with pitching. If you're unclear of your next step, it's not because you don't want to do it. It's not because I don't want to do the case study thing. It's just I'm at a little bit of a halt. So I need to get some clarity. That's actually my plan for this afternoon. I need to get some clarity on exactly what I want the end product to look like so that I can actually build some actionable steps to finish it.
Yeah. Joey and I have pitched so many times. We have done so many pitches in the last however many years we've been in business, like
10,
combined.
10 for me,
Yeah, so we have learned a lot. And so we're excited to kind of get some of these regular questions that people ask and give you some answers. So you ready to dive into it?
Let's do it.
All right, first question. Should I focus on volume, aka should I focus on pitching a ton of people, but it's not as customized, or should I focus on doing really customized pitches that take a long time, but that means I'm pitching less people? So should I focus on volume or should I focus on custom?
Yeah. So the answer to this is really simple. You should always focus on volume. Pitching is a volume game. So if you can do customization at scale where you have a lot of volume, meaning you're able to send out 15 pitches a day or, you know, 30 or 40 pitches a week, if you can do that volume while also making them customized because you're working 8 to 12 hours a day on that, awesome. If you cannot keep up with that though, you need to scale down the customization of your pitches, because what a lot of people do is they put so much effort into one pitch and they send it out and then they wait and go, nothing's happened. And it's just a volume game, guys.
Yeah.
We always say at Creative Rise that you will probably pitch 10 brands. You will hear back from two or three of them and you might close one out of every 10. That is just the game. That's the name of the game when it comes to pitching. Now, this goes a little bit differently depending on how warm the client is.
If this
is a client you've worked with before, obviously make it a very customized pitch. If it's a client that you have some type of warm connection to, make it a customized pitch. But if you're just doing cold outreach, trying to get your name in the hat for, you know, campaigns at all these different brands or different venues or whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're pitching for, the name of the game is volume, and then the name of the game is also follow-ups in volume. So that is a big thing that I've learned over the last decade of pitching brands as a photographer and filmmaker, and that's it. Volume's king.
I would say either pendulum side when it comes to cold pitching is probably not ideal. Like, if you're like, okay, volume, great. I'm just going to copy and paste a, like, really lame, hi, I want to work with you, period. Here's my email. Please reach out. If you send that to a million people, you're probably not going to get any deals, or you might get some interest, maybe, if they really dig around and see your work. But I think combining the two, like, in my opinion, the middle ground is the sweet spot. Like, I love doing, like, hey, make a list of, like, 20 brands in the same industry, and let's create a semi-custom pitch to that industry. And then I can adjust it with names, and I can adjust it with maybe an idea or something specific about their company, and maybe, like, the first paragraph. And then send that out if you feel like, oh, I really want to go for volume. So have a customization aspect inside of your volume would be my
super smart. All right, question number two. In your opinion, Christy, when pitching, what is the least effective way to pitch? What's the worst way to do it?
I think I just said it. If you're DMing people going, hey, brand, I'm Christy, and I'm a commercial photographer, and I would really like to take photos of your product. Please message me back. Like, in my opinion,
let me know
is the worst sentence you could ever send into a pitch. I just want to say, eliminate let me know out of your vocabulary.
Why?
Because that completely leaves the ball in their court. In my opinion, when you're pitching, you're in the driver's seat. You are the one in the driver's seat, in my opinion, the entire time if you do it right, which means you should always be saying, this is a future question that I wrote down that we were going to get to, but good call to actions. Let me know is like a very mysterious, like, there's no actual call to action. It's just like a get back to me when you can. It's like, great, let's hang out soon. Yeah. No one's ever hanging out.
It doesn't
out soon,
elicit
right?
a response.
No,
right?
it elicits
Versus
no
saying,
response.
Like, hey, looking forward to hearing from you.
Yes.
That's like, oh, this person's actually waiting to hear back from me. I should probably
or
maybe reach back.
Can you hop on a call at this time on this date? That's way better.
Totally.
So I would say if your pitch is all about you and it's all about what you want to do for the company, that doesn't sell well, right? You want to make it about the company, about the problems that they have, about the things they desire. So if you can make it about that, then you don't make it about yourself. And all of a sudden, it's a way more interesting pitch. What would you say is least effective?
That's it, right there. I think we move on to number three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, do I just sell them my skill set? Or should I pitch something specific? So when people ask this, they're kind of like, okay, should I just like tell them I'm a photographer, that I like do stuff like that? And like maybe they tell me what they need? Or should I pitch something specific to a company? What do I do?
Yeah. So when you pitch your skill set, you better be so much better than every single person in the world at that specific thing. If you are, then you can pitch your skill set. But the reality is, I'm not that much better than most people. You're not that much better than most people. In fact, we might be worse than a lot of people we're competing with to get a job. Therefore, why would we pitch our skill set? You have to pitch something tangible, something they can actually see and visualize, giving them value. Therefore, it is an idea. It's something specific, right? So don't just pitch your skill set, because they assume if they're going to be working with someone professional, if you're a professional photographer, professional filmmaker, professional creator, everyone's got a minimum, you know, standard of skill. After that, it's not about skill, it's about pitching the right idea, pitching the thing that's actually going to add value to their ecosystem, and whether it's their marketing or sales ecosystems, their product library, whatever it's going to be. So you need to focus on actually pitching specific ideas rather than like, hey, I've been shooting for 8 years and I shoot on Canon glass. That's not good. So pitch an idea. Do not just pitch your skill set.
Yeah, that's good.
So question number four. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. That was 4. Question number 5. When pitching, should I send the pitch and then a proposal in the pitch, or should I just send the pitch? Like, how do I do that?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple different ways you can do this, in my opinion. I think that there's like, there's pitches where you're not actually pitching the full idea yet. You're asking for a contact. And so that can be like a DM on Instagram or something like that, where you maybe give them a little bit of a taste of what, you know, you're wanting to send them just to pique their curiosity, but asking for, you know, whatever it is, an email. From then, you can then send a pitch with a proposal if you feel like, oh, this is either a warm client or I have the time to really be sending like full-on custom pitches or something that's semi-custom in a pitch. I like to include that if I feel like, you know what, I've got the time, let's do this. But you can also go the volume game and go, I'm going to send a really awesome pitch and ask them if I can send over a proposal. And people will often go, oh, that's an easy next step, right? Like saying yes to hearing more is easier than saying yes to hopping on a call or something like that. And the more yeses you can get from somebody, the more likely they're going to say yes to a bigger commitment in the future. So I think sometimes when you can ask, hey, can I send over a pitch for you to look at, a proposal for you to look at, they might say yes, and then you're in their inbox, which is cool. So I would say you can do both. I think it can be, if you're especially time sensitive, you're trying to send it for like a trip you're going on, you're trying to work with some brands, or you're trying to book an Airbnb stay and you're trying to collaborate or whatever it is, I would put a pitch inside of there. But if you've got the time to have the back and forth, then I would ask to send over a proposal if you're trying to play that volume game. Mm.
And quickly, the difference between a pitch and a proposal, a pitch is the method of how you actually get in touch with somebody to present ideas, and a proposal is the actual structure that holds your ideas. Here's the ideas, here's the concepts, here's the price, here's the timeline, here's all that stuff. So a pitch is anything. It could be a DM, it could be an email, it could be a cold call, it could be you showing up in person at their business or their restaurant or whatever. And a proposal is, here's the actual offer, here's the value, whether it's in a PDF, a backlink on a website, it's in a piece of paper you're handing to them, whatever that's gonna be. Those are the differences between a pitch and a proposal.
Yeah. Okay, next question. How should you start a pitch? Like, what's the first thing I should say? Like, if I'm just sitting at my keyboard, I'm so confused on how to start this thing, what would you say? How do you start a pitch?
So we talk about this in the Outreach Templates course, which is great. If you do not have that, I would highly encourage you to get it. $99. Guaranteed it is going to make you thousands of dollars over the next year, because it teaches you everything you need to say in order to actually pitch people. So the Outreach Templates course, go to creativevibes.com/outreach templates, and you will actually see that. You're going to get a video course, 7 steps on each step of an outreach framework, teaching you how to do this. And then you're actually going to get the scripts that we give you as well, so you can do this well. It's going to save you a lot of time. But the first thing we always talk about is you need to have a personalized introduction. The easiest way for me to not open up a pitch, and we get pitched all the time for stuff, whether it's other creatives wanting to work with us, whether it's stuff for Creative Rise. I've got lots of friends that own brands, and they say, oh, the one of the biggest things that makes me not even want to open up an email is if it looks like it's a copy and pasted pitch. It does not look like it was actually sent to me so that I would read it. It was just sent to us when sent, you know, when they sent it out to 100 other brands. So the first thing we talk about in the Outreach Templates course is getting a personalized introduction, a personalized intro and hook in there. So that could be something like, hey, I'm going to use a brand that I see on
Zorali.
Yeah. There you go. Our friend's brand down in Australia. It'd be like, hey, Zorali, it's an outdoor brand. Instead of just saying, hey, Zorali, and then like the subject line is, I've got a pitch for you, or, you know, let's work together. It maybe should be something like, you know, your subject line or the email could be, and that's part of your hook, right? Subject line's part of the hook could be, you could use, I'm trying to think about their tagline. I was going to use their tagline. One of my favorite things to do when pitching is I actually infuse the brand's tagline into the subject line, and I say something kind of cheeky with the tagline.
Isn't it kind of like getting more people outdoors?
Exactly. So it'd be like, you know, I've got an idea on how we can get more people outdoors. You know, whether or not they actually go through the pitch, that is definitely going to be in an open email, because they're like, oh, this person is saying our language, using common language, things we understand, and they're saying it in a way where they're involved in that. Like, where are they getting at here? So one of the best things you can do with your subject line is use their tagline and spin it in a way where you're involved.
Yeah.
And then once you actually get into the email, the first paragraph should be a personalized intro, not, hi, my name is Joey, and here's all the things about me. It should be, hey, my name is Joey. Here is why I am sending you this email. I've got this idea for your brand, and it's for your brand because here's what I think about your brand. Yep. I have this product, and I've had it for this many years, and I love it, and I used it last week, and it made me think about this, which gave me this idea. Now I'm emailing you because of all that, right? Yeah. Like, you have to give them some type of substance that makes them go, wow, this person actually is a buyer, a consumer of our products. They value our brand. And you're saying, well, Joey, maybe I don't have the products of that brand. Well, that's okay. Find something else that you can swing in terms of a personalized intro. What you don't want to do is look like everybody else.
Yeah.
A personalized introduction is designed to make them want to read the rest of your email because they're getting a little glimpse into the fact that you actually care about their brand.
Yeah, I like the complimenting side. It's just a little, it can take literally 2 minutes of effort of like, oh, I just saw that you guys started a new initiative on using, you know, this type of sustainability in water or plastic or whatever. And it can be just like a simple thing just to show that it's not a copy and paste. Like, that will go a long way. Mm-hmm. So I love that. That's
totally
good.
All right. Next question. When pitching,
yes,
what is a good CTA to wrap the pitch up?
Yes. So again, not the let me know or just can't wait to hear from you or whenever you're available or anything like that. I like call to actions that are very specific. So it's like, hey, if this sounds great, can we jump on a call this Tuesday at either 2 p.m. or 5 p.m. or this Wednesday or whatever, or put a Calendly link in there and give a suggested time? That gives it some urgency of like, oh, this person actually has an idea of a time on the calendar and I need to make sure that I respond before that time, right? Because if it's a let me know, they're just going to come back to you whenever they feel like they have time, which you'll just get pushed down the email box. So I like to give specific times. Now, make sure if you're bulk pitching, you're not pitching the same time to every single 100 people, right? Because you don't want to get overwhelmed. But if you can do some sort of Calendly link, or if you can do a couple specific times or different days that you are available, that's how I like to do it, is that good call to action. Or if it's a call to action of like, can I send your proposal? I can get that to you, you know, today, whatever it is. Something that has like a timeline on it, I feel like tends to work better.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. People don't respond to things that don't seem to have any type of urgency to it, right? Yeah. Or any type of timeline. So it's important, as Christy said, you got to have some type of like that in there. And then the other thing I would say, your CTA should also be followed up with talking about how you're going to reach out to them.
Yes.
So if you're sending an email on Tuesday, what I would love to do is say, hey, and if I don't hear from you by Friday, don't worry, I'll follow up with you again on Friday.
Yeah.
So you're telling them, hey, I'm going to stay on top of you.
Yeah.
And you're also letting them know, like, there's a reason to email me back, because if you don't, I'm going to keep emailing you, right? And not in a weird way, but in like a, hey, I'm going to keep trying to create this connection with you guys. So when someone says, hey, if you don't respond to me, I'm going to follow up, it makes people go, well, why don't I just respond real quick, right?
Yeah.
So, that's the answer to that.
Okay, next question. How do I pitch and not just get a, we'll send you some free product? AKA, I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to be an influencer. So how do you respond? How does someone pitch and not look like an influencer when they're really trying to maybe like shoot a campaign for them on the back end of their business? They're not the ones just trying to do a collaboration. They're actually trying to work with the brand behind the scenes.
Yeah. So this is a tough question because this is a tough answer to this question, because the reality is, if I owned a brand, I would be looking for creators that are both influencers and creators. They can create the media and then they can also publish media. They can also help me get attention, get eyes on that media. Why would you not be looking for that if you're a brand? Why would you want to work with a creative who shoots the same level, same skill set? They can really only get you the same style of content as some type of influencer, yet they have no reach. Of course you'd want to work with someone that has more value, right? That's why influencers are so, everyone's like, you know, oh, hey, thanks for pitching us. Go to this brandblah.com/influencer and fill out our form there. And then creators are sitting there going, I'm not an influencer. No, why do they keep sending me to these forms? Or I don't want to be treated like an influencer. The reality is influencers are of value because they can handle more than one problem. They can create the media and then they can help you distribute the media. So I say that to say, the more you can become like an influencer in a way where you're actually driving value, is good.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not like that though, and you have no desire to try and build an audience, try and prove that you can get attention online, which is why a brand's gonna hire you in the first place, then you need to be providing a ton of value outside of what an influencer would typically do. Therefore, they won't treat you like an influencer. But if you're saying, hey, you know, I wanna come in and shoot a campaign for you guys of like 15 images and 3 reels, it's like, well, that's what every other influencer is pitching as well. So why is working with you, who has no audience, who has no distribution plan, plan for this content as well, who's not going to get you any more eyes on this content for the brand, why is working with you worth it, right? You've got to come up with something that's a little bit more unique. So first things first, you've got to be really descriptive when you reach out to them. You talk about how you're not an influencer and you are a creator or a photographer or filmmaker, and here's why that is something of value to them and why they should continue to read your pitch. You've got to really make sure you talk about those things, right?
And I think some of the differences between an influencer, and not all influencers, I'm not going to paint all influencers as if they're not campaign directors and developers, but the things that influencers do not provide usually is a sense of diversity of images in the campaign, right? An influencer, it's just one person in the images. It's the same person, which means the content's not really that diverse to be able to use across a long period of time and a bunch of over the platform. So influencer, it's a little bit of like a one and done campaign, one use situation. Whereas if you're doing a campaign development, you can have different types of models and you can have the, you know, in a lot of different places, and you can view yourself as more of a jack of all trades, which is really valuable to a brand. I would also just say, stop pitching brands that only work with influencers. Yeah. Like, there is a point where you're like, yes, you can go knocking on those doors all day, and you can probably get in with some of those people, but chances are they're getting stuff for free all the time. Why do you want to keep knocking on that door? Go work with a brand that doesn't have a million people pitching them every single day, influencers pitching them and taking their product for free and giving them content for free. Go make a ton of money with a brand that's not getting pitch all the time, and go buy those products. Like, if you really just want to be using those products, go buy the products with money you're actually making from really great clients that aren't getting pitched all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'd also say that.
That's good. All right, so how do I get a brand to pay attention to me when there are tons of other people actually pitching them? What do you do when you're trying to pitch, but you just feel like you're getting lost in the sea of pitches?
Yeah, that's a really good one. What I just said, also focus on brands, industries, people like that that aren't getting pitched all the time. But I would say a lot of the tried and true things we were talking about, customization, like actual customization is huge when it comes to your pitching. But I would also say we always love to talk about the 10-cent rule. So this is, you want to give a brand or a potential client your 2 cents 5 times a week. Okay, that's the 10-cent rule. So what that means is you're gonna go and give them your 2 cents. So your thoughts, your comments, your likes, your engagement, you're gonna do that, whether it's resharing, you know, a story, posting on your Instagram about them, emailing them just like a, hey, this is awesome, I love this, here's a review, a testimonial, whatever it is. Some way you can engage with the brand multiple times a week in order for them to actually notice you, right? Because then all of a sudden when you pitch, it's not cold. And cold pitches don't get responded to as much as warm pitches do. Mm-hmm. And if so, someone actually knows you, it's incredible how this 10-cent rule really works. Like, this has worked so many times in my life. This has worked so many times in Joey's life, so many people. Is you start interacting with this brand and you start actually giving them value. Again, not just like a like here and there. It's like an actual value to this brand and interacting with them. They're all of a sudden going to go, who's this person that keeps interacting? This is so cool. They're going to write back to you. They might respond to your DMs. All of a sudden, you're in their DMs. And all of a sudden, there's all this goodwill. And then eventually, when that team sits around a boardroom and goes, hey, we've got a spring campaign coming up, who do we know that could shoot this? Your name might pop up because they're like, hey, this person interacts with their stuff all the time. They're like a loyal person. Let's give them a shot, right? And they may actually reach out to you, which has happened to both of us many times. So I would say making sure that they know that you are a loyal fan, not just someone who's trying to like hit them with a cold pitch and then move on.
Yep.
You actually trust the brand.
Totally. The last thing I would say on that is I made a video on this years ago on my Instagram. I think when we'd first started Creative Rise, but I was making the point that the extra mile is never crowded. So little example, we were skiing the other day and we got up there and we ended up going to this one section of the mountain later on in the morning, and it was a pow day, which means that the lines are probably skied out a little bit. I went down a couple different places that I thought potentially could be good and just constantly, it's been tracked out, meaning it's already been skied. I'm looking for fresh snow. So I went, the extra mile's never crowded. I went a little bit further down this ridge to a spot that most people don't go, and guess what? The extra mile was never crowded. There was great snow. I got like one of the sickest face shots of my life. It was so good. And it just keeps reminding me like, man, if we can just go a little bit further, if everyone's going to ski to that point, if you can just go a little bit further, you're going to get some goods. If everyone's going to pitch as creatives, this type of pitch, if we can just go a little bit further in creativity in it or volume in it or the way we follow up, you're going to get some traction. You're going to get some responses, right? So a quick little idea of this is, you know, use something like Loom Video. Like Loom's a web-based app, loom.com. You can literally, it's a screen recording app where you can have your video. It's free. You can have your video, you can have your audio, and you can screen record. You can literally just pull up their Instagram or pull up their website or pull up their ads library or do whatever. Pull up your pitch and just go, hey, brand, you know, I'm Joey. You know, give me 2 minutes. I'm going to walk you through something I think is going to be worth your time. And here it is. And you go through your pitch or you call out something on their feed that could be better and you talk about how you want to help them do it. And then you send that in an email or a DM that says, hey, I made a quick little video for you. I hope this really stands out above and beyond what a bunch of other people pitch you. I'd really, you know, consider you watch this and I'm going to follow up with you in 2 days if I haven't heard from you. And you put the link. That is different. You're going the extra mile. That sounds like, oh, but Joey, that sounds so complicated. It's actually really easy. That is probably way more time efficient because you just click a button and start talking and then click a button and click share link than even having to like write out a whole pitch and stuff. Yeah. So the extra mile is never crowded. Let's move on to the next question real quick. So last two questions here. When pitching, how can I optimize the amount of pitches that I'm sending out in the least amount of time?
I would say adjusting, if you're like, I'm really trying to go volume game, but I still want it to feel a little bit customized, I would say just adjust the top paragraph. So what I want you to do is when you're pitching, this is also super important, don't hop from industry to industry to industry. Mm. Like, okay, I'm going to go and pitch an Airbnb, and then next I'm going to pitch a jewelry company, and then next I'm pitching a construction company. Your brain all of a sudden just can't continue to switch quickly enough in order to bulldoze through a bunch of pitches. So what I want you to do is create your master list of people you want to reach out to, but then separate and categorize them by industry. So if it's going to be like, hey, these are all jewelry brands, these are all Airbnbs, these are all resorts, these are all construction companies, whatever it is, I want you to break them up into industries and then pitch per industry. That way you can write a pitch, have a pitch deck, whatever it is, and then just customize it like the first paragraph, and you're pitching a more generalized idea of what you could do for that company that's going to apply to the entire industry, and then you just adjust that first paragraph to something specific to their company, and then you can just go boom, 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 go all the way down the list, and then move to the next industry, reformulate the pitch, and then keep going. I think that's how what I would do to kind of minimize the amount of time that I'm using in order to customize for
pitching. Yeah, the only way to optimize anything, specifically around pitches, is you just have to decrease the amount of decisions you have to make, right? So if you can just pick an industry, formulate a pitch where they all kind of have the same problem, and then like you said, you can just switch out minor things. Mm. It still feels like a customized pitch because you built it specifically for that industry and specifically to the problems they have. So very important, great answer. Yes. Last question.
Should I follow up on my cold pitches?
I'm going to look straight down the barrel of the camera here. Like genuinely 70 to 80% of deals, not just in our businesses, but in the hundreds of creatives that we've coached, come from follow-ups. Guys, if you are not following up, you are leaving potentially 70% of the revenue you could have this year on the table.
Yeah.
So please follow up. If I owned a brand and you were pitching me, I might not just respond simply to see if you actually care. Have you ever had someone pitch you on anything? This is classic in the DMs. I get pitched all the time in the DMs. People will be like, I've really been following what you've been doing. I really, really like your content. I really, you know, and I know it's just mass DM pitch production stuff. But they'll say to me like, you know, I'm so excited to follow along your journey and I really want to work with you. And I'll just not open it and I'll go watch. Guaranteed this person never reaches out to me again because they're not actually truthful about anything they're saying. They don't actually know me. They don't actually want to work with me. They just want my money, right? So I won't respond simply to test them to see if they're ever going to reach back out.
Yep.
When the ones, the very like small 1% that do reach back out, I still, for the most part, don't ever give them time of day because it's probably nothing that I need. But it makes me go, oh, respect. They actually do care enough about my account where they are putting me on a list to follow up with people. And even though they still just want my business, I can respect that, right?
Yeah,
so definitely. People might be testing you when you pitch and don't hear back just to see if you actually care about them and you're not just sending them mass pitches. So always follow up, guys. We got a ton of episodes actually on how to follow up. So
we just did one like 3 episodes
ago. Yeah, a couple episodes. There's one on follow up. So make sure you go listen to that. And then we have other ones too. So just keep scrolling back through the podcast. You'll find them. But you've got to be following up.
And
please,
real quick,
please follow up.
How to follow up, at least what I like to do, is first follow up is more of like a, hey, I'm bumping this to the back top of the email again. I know you're super busy. It's more of just like a quick like, hey, look below. If they don't respond to that, pitch a new idea. Get something new, fresh in the inbox because they probably just didn't like your first pitch or they didn't see it. And this is going to, again, not just be like, look again. That's annoying. Pitch a new idea, create some interest.
Totally. Guys, this has been a great episode. That is 10 questions, 10 of the top questions that we get around pitching. I hope that was so helpful for you. If it was, please click the little share button right now. Take a screenshot of this. Post this on your Instagram story. Put the link to the podcast. Invite your friends, your creative friends to listen to the show so that we can also help them today with their pitching. And tag us. We'd love if you would tag us so that we can actually see that you posted it. We can connect with you, get to know people that are listening to the show. We can say thank you. We can repost you. And yeah, share this episode around. Thank you for being here. If you love this episode, go leave us a 5-star rating and written review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show grow. We would love if you would do that. And if this was great and you love this style of just like back and forth Q&A on hot topic questions, let us know what another topic, if it's not pitching, let us know what another topic could be that you would like us to do a podcast on. We would love to do it if it's in our wheelhouse. And hope you have a great week. So we will see you guys next week. Go ahead and crush it this week, guys. We just rolled into Q2 of 2024, which means there is a lot of brands going into meetings going, what is our Q2 plan? Who are we working with this month, right? Who are we working with in the next 3 or 4 months? What's our plan for Q3 and Q4? So this is a great time of year to start get the ball rolling with some of this stuff. So we are encouraged. Hope you are encouraged. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We were so happy to have you here.
And do not forget to jump onto iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write a written review. That would mean the world to us. And we will catch you next time on the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple. Peace.